Hello, friends. Welcome to Crime Chat Pod. Today, we're going to be getting angry. Are you ready? Today, we're going to be talking about Mytrace Richardson. This case first came on my radar, I think back in 2016 when I first started really diving into true crime. And the second I heard it, I immediately got furious. It's a really hard case to research because it is such a miscarriage of justice, but we'll get into that later. For now, let's just chat crime. Mytrace Richardson was born on April 30th, 1985, in Southern California to a Lettice Sutton and Michael Richardson. The parents' marriage didn't last, but Mytrace was raised with her mother and stepfather, and her father spent some time in jail really early on in Mytrace's life, but pretty soon after getting out, he turned his life completely around. He has an awesome career in healthcare, and he developed a really good relationship with Mytrace in her late teen, early adult years, and they seem to be pretty close. You're probably wondering why I'm saying all of this. I just find that in a lot of true crime podcasting, you don't often get a lot of information on the backstory of the victim. That's probably due to privacy reasons, so with respect of the dead, we're not going to dig that hard, but I do feel it's important to paint some kind of picture of the victim. The actual crime we're talking about today happened the evening of September 16th, 2009, and it would be the oddest night of Mytrace Richardson's life, and unfortunately, it would be the last. I don't know whether I'm going to title this episode Missing, Murdered, Lost in the Woods. It's a really odd case, so let's get into it. In 2009, when Mytrace went missing, she was absolutely drop-dead gorgeous. She was pretty her entire life from everything I read, but she was over 5'7", relatively thin, gorgeous dark skin. A lot of pictures of her kind of dressed up in these cute outfits. She used to do go-go dancing in college to make extra money. And she started out at the California State University at Fullerton, and she graduated with a bachelor's in psychology in 2008. I don't think she had any brothers or sisters, so I do believe Mytrace was an only child. If I'm wrong, please correct me, but I couldn't find any information on her having siblings. Her mother and her were really close. However, after she graduated college, she moved in with her great-grandmother down in Southern California, simply because it was closer to her place of work. After graduating in 2008, Mytrace started working more externing with a really well-known psychologist who was also a family friend. She chose to live with her great-grandmother because it was a lot closer in proximity, and Mildred, her great-grandmother, really didn't mind if Mytrace came and went. She still worked some shifts at the go-go dancing clubs she sometimes worked at in college to make extra money, but it really wasn't on a regular occasion. But the majority of her time was spent either with her longtime girlfriend of 2 years, Tess Moon, or at her job at the psychologist's office, or picking up extra shifts at the nightclub. We don't know much about her personal life beyond that, aside from the fact that Tessa has worked with the family to keep Mytrace's case in the news, even though there's been technical resolution. Mytrace was very aware of her mental state because she had a bachelor's in psychology, and while it was unclear when she was diagnosed and by whom, if she was at all, she considered herself bipolar. She had it under control, and everyone around her, for all intents and purposes, hadn't had any issues with any episodes or anything in a long time. It should be noted as well that bipolar disorder is the most misdiagnosed mental health condition out there. It can take a lot of different forms. There are actually 3 different types of bipolar disorder, and they all take on completely different facets. And everybody has different kinds of, I guess you would say, triggers or things that cause them to become either manic or depressive if they are bipolar. In the summer of 2009, Mytrace broke up with her longtime girlfriend of 2 years, Tessa Moon. Not only did this seem out of the blue, Mytrace was very emotional over the breakup, even though it was her choice. Everyone around her thought this was a really odd decision, and she couldn't really give anybody a clear, concise answer why. So let's go over some recapped facts here. Maitreese is 24, living in El Candido Hills, California. That is down in LA. It's a super populated area, and she's living with her great-grandmother. She's doing this because she just started a job at a local psychologist's office who is super well-known and also a family friend. She was a tall, very attractive black woman who also was a lesbian. I know it's 2009 and that was only 11 years ago, but those are pretty bold things to be out and proud about, and there is speculation that there was some discrimination involved. Racist cops. Although Maitreese was living with her great-grandmother, she was relatively active on whatever you want to call 2009 social media. She still had a MySpace, and looks like Maitreese didn't have a Facebook. Latisse, her mother, had noticed that Maitreese had been posting odd things, such as, and I quote, "I just want to sleep, lol, but you know me and my crazy ideas, ... let's see where they take me," unquote. Latisse tried to reach out on multiple occasions, but Maitreese never picked up her phone. I also never pick up my phone. And on that note, let's take a little break before we get into the evening of September 16th, 2009. All right, we're back. The evening of September 16th, 2009, Maitreese decided to go up to the very fancy restaurant called Joffrey's in Malibu, California. This is a very fancy restaurant, to put it totally plainly. It's down the hills on the beachside cliffs from Calabasas, and Calabasas is the bougiest spot, I think, in LA that I've seen pictures of. It's where all the celebrities live. The houses look like cartoon houses an architect would draw up. I don't know. They're super extravagant. Anyway, it's an expensive place, and it's pretty high up the cliffs. It looks, on Google Maps, I'll post a picture of it, it looks very, very close to the bay. And if you look at a photo from Joffrey's actual restaurant, they advertise, like, the sea view. So it must have been, like, up in the Hollywood Hills, I'm assuming. So Maitreese rolls up, and the valet goes to greet her and notices immediately that Maitreese is starting to act erratically. She keeps saying that she's there to avenge the death of Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson had died a few months earlier that year. The valet parked her car and didn't really think much of it, probably just thought she was being eccentric. When he came back, he noticed Maitreese was in his car. They're rummaging around in the glove boxes. So he came up to her and he was like, "Can I help you?" And she was like, "Oh no, never mind." And then continued on into the restaurant. So more odd, kind of unexplained behavior. And he gave the front of the house a heads up when he brought her inside. Also noting that when Maitreese walked into the restaurant, she left her purse and whatever else she was carrying with her in her car. So she walks into this restaurant with just her person. It's unclear, frustratingly unclear. I've scoured the internet. I can't find out what Maitreese was wearing the night she disappeared. But based on all of the articles that I've read and everything that I've absorbed over the last few days, she was wearing jeans, shoes, a belt, a shirt, and some kind of jacket. So she wasn't necessarily in a fancy outfit, however, in more of a casual outfit. The reasons will become important later. Maitreese walks into Joffrey's and kind of scans the area and eventually takes a seat at a table clearly set for two, but the server sits her and hands them a menu. I've heard somewhere that some people find this weird, but honestly, if you work at restaurants, that's where one tops go. It just happens. Nothing weird about that. Maitreese ordered a drink. It was something called like a Blue Sunset. It was a really fruity sounding drink. And started chatting to the table next to her. It was a large group, from what I understand, and pretty soon after chatting with them, Maitreese kind of invited herself over and joined them for dinner. While a server was taking their orders, she ordered dinner with them. She ordered a steak, and she was yucking it up, laughing, having a great time. The manager checked on the table a few times, just making sure that they were fine with the sudden intrusion on their evening. The table just kind of laughed it off. I would honestly do the same, and I probably would think it was funny. And the group just honestly had their dinner, paid their bill, and left. Somehow, during the ordering and the eating of the food, there was a miscommunication. Maitreese was given her bill, and she looked super confused. She thought the group was going to pay for her bill. When she revealed she didn't have her purse or money that she put in the car that the valet took, the manager came over to see what was up. I don't know why she didn't just go to her car and get her purse. Maybe it didn't occur to her in that state of mind. But she decided to call her great-grandmother Mildred and try and get her bill paid. Now, this is 2009, and I understand that technology moves fast, but the next sentence literally made me do a double take. The restaurant required a fax signature? What? And her great-grandmother didn't have a fax. Like, what the fuck? My father had a fax growing up, and I think he probably used it 6 times and stopped using it when I was well into high school. The fact that a restaurant needs a fax for a signature over the phone is really odd to me, but I don't know. Let me know if it's not odd. So she doesn't have her wallet. She doesn't have any money. The great-grandmother can't pay the bill because she doesn't have a fax machine. And the staff were offering to pay for it, but the manager wouldn't allow them to. At first, this got me super heated, but after reading about it and understanding, I think the manager didn't want them to pay for it because they didn't just want her to, like, go off into the night and, like, drive her car and, God forbid, something bad happened to her. I think it was all in good conscience. I think he was trying to take care of her. I mean, at the time, he thought she was either drunk or on some sort of drugs or in some sort of mental break or state, so he's kind of at a loss. I mean, there's this woman here who is acting really eccentric and technically refusing to pay her bill. She's kind of joking with the manager in a way that he's not sure if calling the police is the right idea, but there's really no other mental health clinic. For instance, when the manager came up to her initially and was like, "Hi, you need to pay your bill," and she told him he can't, she was like, "What, do you want me to, like, wash dishes or, you know, give you a blowjob or something?" A lot of people were like, "But she was gay." I don't think she was seriously, like, sexual favors to pay for her meal. I think it was a lot of sarcasm. I think she was probably just ribbing them and trying to be funny, trying to get a rise out of them or a shock out of them, which makes sense. If she was in a manic state, you definitely do things for shock value. That's the idea of a manic state. So the manager decides to call the police, or I should say the sheriff, and that's a really important distinction that'll come later. Here's where the timeline not only gets important, but fuzzy. So, starting out great. The Lost Hill Sheriff's Department were called at around 9 p.m. by the manager at Joffrey's. 3 deputies arrived, which means, like, they had to at least take 2 cars, right? So, like, why do they need 3 deputies? I don't understand. Like, ooh. The manager called and let them know that she was acting, and I quote, "odd and euphoric in a trance-like state at times," unquote. The sheriff's department believed that Maitreese was on drugs or drunk. But not only did she pass the field sobriety test, she also took a breathalyzer, which cannot lie. And she passed that too. She only had that one drink at dinner with a steak hours ago, so we know for sure being drunk is ruled out. Like, there's no way to fake a breathalyzer. She wasn't drunk. Maybe on drugs, or maybe a mental break. Those are our other options, I think, at this point. The police search Maitreese's person and car. While they don't make note of finding her purse, wallet, or phone in the car, which were in the car, they do make note of finding a small amount of marijuana. Now, I don't think weed was legal in 2009, but from what I understand, it wasn't like a fresh baggie of bud. It was like a few old rolled up joints and, like, shake from her pocket. It really wasn't anything. Maitreese's car and all the possessions inside of it, including, you know, phone, purse, wallet, were impounded upon her being booked. And what that means is that she would have to pay to get them out the next day or at a later date. They ended up booking her because it was, quote unquote, very seriously, quote unquote, easier than doing a psychiatric evaluation. Because of paperwork. So you're telling me you're too busy to do paperwork. Her actual charges ended up being marijuana possession and defrauding an innkeeper, which sounds like the most 1895 bullshit charge I've ever. Defrauding an innkeeper. I'm sorry, madam, you have defrauded the innkeeper. Like, do you not think of peasants in England? What the fuck? All joking aside, Maitrise was still clearly showing signs of a manic episode or of some sort of mental break. They never determined whether she was on drugs or not, but her family and friends all said that she never really showed an interest in drugs, so it's highly unlikely that she would be high on anything except for weed, and as someone who is high right now, you don't act like that. While in custody, she starts acting super weird. She's grabbing onto the bars of the cell and swinging herself around like a kid, and continuing to say really odd things. Oh, I forgot. Back at the restaurant, they quoted her as telling everybody she was from Mars, like it was a big deal or something. So that's also something to keep in mind. They take her photo and they take all of her information while they book her. And compared to the photos that you see of Maitrise, which I'll have posted, she looks clearly disheveled and very different. Her hair is a little bit more frizzed out. It's less purposefully kind of twisted. And she has huge dark circles under her eyes, no expression. She does not look lit from within. She looks a little spaced out. So while Maitrise is in the holding cell, her mother, Lettice, hears word, probably from the great-grandmother Mildred, that Maitrise is here and something has happened. So Lettice phoned the police station asking whether they plan to keep Maitrise in custody overnight or release her. And this phone call is heartbreaking. Let's have a listen.
Okay. I'm her mother. Mm-hmm. And are you guys going to book her and then release her on her own recognizance tonight? Because it's dark. She doesn't have a car and I don't want her wandering out. I'm totally just taken aback because this is so out of character for her. Yeah. And you'll see when she comes in, she's well-spoken. I think the only way I will come and get her tonight is if you guys are going to release her tonight.
Yeah.
If she's going to be held in custody for some type of arraignment tomorrow, mm-hmm. then I will wait until tomorrow. She definitely has no place, you know, I mean, she's not from that area, and I would hate to wake up to a morning report. Yeah. Lost somewhere with her head chopped off, so I guess I would have to come and get her. Oh, my God.
Yeah, we're in a great house. The only thing is, at least in the station here, she will be separated, so nobody's going to be with her. So at least that's, you know, the plus thing, so you don't have to worry about her safety.
No, I feel safe with her being in custody. It's being released, but I'm worried about it. It's crazy out here. All right, well, then I will more than likely call and touch bases with you guys a little bit later.
And she'll call you as soon as she comes in, too.
Okay, that quality probably wasn't great, but that is the phone call of Lettice calling, and that's exactly how I would act. I would probably be like, of course she's in custody, she's gonna be locked in a cell overnight, what else is gonna happen to her? I'm fine, I'll pick her up in the morning. You know, if she's gonna be released, I'll go get her, because then she's gonna be acting weird, but if she's just gonna be in the cell, she'll wear herself out, she'll fall asleep, well, get this all sorted out in the morning. What actually ended up happening is going to make your head explode. 5 minutes after that phone call, Maitrise was released from custody. She was told she could wait in the lobby and her mother would be picking her up there in the morning, which is exactly the opposite of what they just told Lettice. If it was a different officer, maybe there was a miscommunication. But either way, what the fuck? So Maitrise clearly is not of sound mind, and she doesn't want to wait in the lobby for her mother. She's pretty confused, and they just let her go. She has the clothes she's wearing on her back, and that's it. All of her possessions, her phone, wallet, and keys were in her car with her purse, which, because she's been released, she can't get until the next day when she comes back and pays for it. Which she obviously can't do because she doesn't have her purse and her family isn't there because they think she's in a cell still. Security footage does show her leaving the station, but this footage would go mysteriously missing for months and months, only to wind up found in the back of a desk drawer of one of the old sheriff department captains. By now in our timeline, it's about 1 a.m. Mitrice is released into the dark without any way to communicate and without really any way to get home. She's 20 miles from Joffrey's and doesn't know the area at all. If you look it up on Google Maps, it would take 6 hours to successfully walk from the sheriff station back down to Malibu. That is if you're going the correct direction and you're going the same speed the whole time. Nobody knew where Mitrice was planning on going. Nobody bothered to check and see if she had somewhere to go in the first place. And she was left to navigate in the dark. Now, it's 1 a.m. and the Malibu Hills are pretty steep. It's going towards the Santa Monica Mountains. We have absolutely no idea what happened to Mitrice between that morning at 1 a.m. and whatever happened until her death. The next morning, Latisse called right on the dot at 5:30 in the morning when the station technically opened. She called to see what she had to do to go pick her daughter up. I give this woman so much credit because I do not understand how she remained so respectful in this situation.
Yes, good morning. My name is Latisse Dutton. I'm calling to follow up on my daughter who was brought in last night around 10:30, 11 o'clock.
Okay, let me transfer the jailer. Hold on, please.
Thank you.
Lockfield Station, Baumgartner.
Yes, hi. My name is Latisse Dutton. I called not too long ago regarding my daughter, Mitrice Richardson. How long before a missing persons report can be filed? Is it 24 or 48 hours?
Yes, well, it depends on the circumstances, but I didn't take your call, so I'm not familiar with it. Did she just not return home after going out?
She was arrested last night. This is the first time she's been arrested. She's in an unknown area.
Mm-hmm.
She's never been in. She's without a vehicle. Nobody can find her.
And where was this at? Where was she arrested at?
Your facility. Her name is Mitrice Richardson.
Okay. Do you know if she's here now or was she released?
They said she was released.
Okay. And what time was she released?
At just shortly after 12 a.m.
Yeah. Normally, I wouldn't recommend doing one. That soon.
Right. What is the time frame?
You know, I guess probably 24 hours would be reasonable. I mean, okay. if there would be some mitigating factors, you know, where, you know, you would suspect maybe something, you know,
well,
not
yeah.
right?
She doesn't know the area. She's never been in your area before.
Where does she live?
She is unfamiliar with that area.
Do you think she possibly could have gotten a bus?
Listen, my child has never ridden a bus.
Okay.
No,
right.
She would not know how to ride a bus.
I would probably wait till, you know, early this morning. And if she doesn't turn up, you can certainly call. I don't suspect anything bad happened.
I'm concerned because, first of all, I thought they were going to keep her overnight because she was highly intoxicated.
Mm-hmm.
Something is obviously going on with her.
Have you talked to the jailer? And
yes, I have. He said he tried to get her disabled because she was an adult. They had to let her go. I believe that she is highly depressed, and she's in a depressive state.
You know, it could be possible that maybe she. I mean, there's a lot of options and a lot of possibilities, and I don't think all of them would be, you know, something dire. But I can certainly understand your fears, you know, being your daughter and all that.
Well, I think she's depressed. That's what has me
That's worried you more than just her. Okay.
That and the fact that she's in an area where she doesn't
know where she's at.
Yeah, does she take medication at all?
No, she. I believe it's a state that she's in right now because of just the weird activity that's been going on.
What's her name? What's
her name? Her name is Maitreese Richardson.
Okay, and your name, ma'am?
Latisse.
Okay, Latisse. Here's what I want you to do. Why don't you wait a couple hours and give us some time to kind of, I'll go back and talk to the jailer and try and get a timeline of when she was released and, you know, make sure she's not asleep in our lobby or anything like that. And then once you give us a call back in a couple hours, if she hasn't shown up or made contact with you, then maybe we can do something for you, okay?
Well, now we don't have time to unpack all of that, but it seems like nobody in the sheriff's office communicates with anybody. I can't imagine they're that busy where he did not know the name of the people booked overnight, or if one was acting so odd, you would remember that. I really truly do not understand how the person answering the phone is just like, who, what, why? Mitigating circumstances? There are mitigating circumstances. She's in a mental state. Her mom is so kind on the phone. Latisse is trying so hard to keep it together, and she's being so respectful. The police officer, the sheriff, whatever, he fucking tells her to call them back in a few hours. Like, oh, I'm gonna touch base with my buddies, see if anybody's sleeping in the lobby. If she doesn't call you, you can give us a ring. Not only does it seem very lazy, it seems very incompetent. So now it's 6:30 in the morning. The Lost Hills station is gonna get a phone call from a man saying that there's a tall, thin black woman in his backyard acting really erratically. He asked her what she was doing, and she just said, "I'm resting." And the way he described her and what she was wearing sounded a lot like Maitreese. We don't have any confirmation 100%. The guy didn't have any footage of her. However, he was an old news anchor. He was retired. So his description of her was spot on. And his voice does sound a little robotic, but I think it's just him spending years on the job kind of describing things in a very 1-2-3 method. Let's hear what he had to say.
Well, Sheriff Station Office, can I help you?
Yeah, hi. Hey, this is Smith at Cold Canyon. We had a prowler walking around through the backyard here, but we don't know what the situation was. I don't know if you have a unit in the area. It might do a little drive-by or something.
Okay, where's this at?
This is Cold Canyon, like on Gold in Montenegro. But it's in the back of the house, which is right where Woodbluff hits Cold Canyon. And we just had a strange woman walking through the backyard here. It's a fairly large property, and she was sitting on the steps right on the back of the house here. This is kind of a circular driveway, and the gates were closed, so we don't know where this woman came from.
You said the cross was Woodbluff?
Yeah, that's right. There's a horse trail, hiking trail access through here, but we've never had this kind of thing happen before.
What's she look like, white, black, Hispanic?
You know, a tall, slim black woman with afro hair.
How tall?
Well, she was sitting down, stretched out on the wooden steps in the back of the house, hard to tell. But she looked like she might have been medium to slightly tall, with a big afro hair, very skinny. And I think she was wearing maybe jeans or tight pants with a T-shirt.
You've never seen her there before?
No, never. Nobody ever does that. I mean, the people hike on the trail all the time. We, you know, the trail goes through our property, but we leave it open on purpose because it's kind of a nice thing for horses and people.
And you said she was laying across the steps, or?
But she was sitting, kind of sprawled out on these wooden steps in the back of the house, right against the back of the house.
Since got up and left?
She's since gone, yeah. She's been gone about 5 minutes now, but as we thought it over, we thought maybe a little drive-by wouldn't be a bad idea.
And what direction was she last seen headed?
Never saw her. Once she left, she disappeared. I moved from one window to another. I said to her, I hollered down, "Are you all right?" And she said, "I'm just resting," or something like that. She's certainly gone out of her way to get to that close to the house because the hiking trail is not that close. It's on the ridge.
Great. Well, since we haven't checked the area for her,
appreciate that very much.
Not a problem, sir.
Oh, boy. Okay. I know we've listened to a lot of phone calls, and I'm sorry, not sorry. There's just no better way to describe the lack of care and concern the sheriff station puts into this. However, I am really happy that that guy decided to call in. Because now not only do we have a sighting of Maitrece, we have a timestamp. During this time, Latisse will spend the next 2 days calling the Lost Hill Sheriff Department, trying to file an official missing persons report. They will push the case over to the LAPD, and honestly, I'm not sure the difference between the LAPD and the LASD. However, the LAPD does have a missing persons unit. It took 2 days for them to even start searching for Maitrece. Latisse and the family and the family friends that were in Maitrece's corner were promised a very large search. They were promised helicopters and dogs and a lot of people. What they got, however, was a very wah, 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 kind of version of what was promised. There were very little officers, and the search wasn't really that vast. They declined to use scent tracking dogs, even though this would explain how Maitrece got from the Lost Hills department to the caller's house, but they did find footprints. The footprints seemed to start walking and then running toward an area called Dark Canyon or Dark Creek. The police officers elected not to go into a more detailed search in that area, so nothing was found. When her missing persons case was finally a case, police did search her car. Upon finding the obvious things, they found her diary, and a couple of passages indicated that she wasn't sleeping and she hadn't gotten sleep for the last 5 days, which would really explain the odd kind of drug-like behavior. I think Patton Oswalt makes a joke about he didn't need to waste all the money he did in college on drugs. He could have just not slept, and he makes the joke after he had his daughter. While we know now that the police found all of this, there is no record of it. Also, we find out that during Maitrece's phone calls she was allowed, she apparently called her great-grandmother Mildred. But these phone calls were never recorded, or the tapes were destroyed, and Mildred says she received no phone call after the initial call asking for a credit card. She doesn't know who Maitrece was calling, but it sure as shit wasn't her. During this investigation, when Maitrece's case was reassigned again to the robbery homicide division, I'm assuming because Maitrece was presumed dead at this point, the officers determined that Maitrece had a manic episode caused by bipolar disorder. 3 days after her disappearance, the Lost Hills lieutenant sent out an email about Maitrece, and somehow someone from LA Mag got a hold of it, and it pretty much states that Maitrece was brought in, quote-unquote, because the officer felt she was acting unusual and was uneasy about letting her go. The email pretty much was just an internal email that was sent out, and it's a lieutenant addressing the captain, so they were talking about the case. The captain obviously was asked about this email, and the lieutenant says he never wrote it, and the captain says he never received it, so they thought Maitrece was fine to leave on her own. At this point, Latisse and Michael, who is Maitrece's biological father, have asked the sheriff's department for footage of Maitrece at the station. They want to see what this erratic behavior acts like, they want to see what she's doing, they want to see how she looks. They want to see what happened, and they're told this footage simply doesn't exist. She was told that it was a technical difficulty and that the footage doesn't exist. Then, a couple months later, she was told that there actually was footage, and they would get that to her as soon as possible, but as soon as possible actually came 3 months later, so it's been a year before the family ever receives this footage. And where was it found? In the old captain's desk, almost like it was being hidden. The footage is clearly doctored. In one frame, you see Maitrece holding something, and in the next, poof, it's gone, like it never even existed. It also has really weird splices and no audio. Let me explain the video, which was edited. Maitrece seems agitated. She's doing the pulling on her hair, pulling at the bars. When she is finally released, the video shows Maitrece walking out the door, and a deputy quickly following after. That's it. the police department refused to name the officer, refused to state he had any contact with Maitrice outside of the station. Despite all the searches, nobody found anything, so Maitrice had just disappeared. Almost a year goes by with nobody finding anything and the family completely in the dark. However, mother's instinct isn't often wrong. Lettice would be quoted saying that she knew her daughter was gone that night. She knew that she left this world. She knew she was looking for a body. And unfortunately, Lettice was right. 11 months after, Maitrice's mummified remains were found in that dark canyon area by rangers. That area is only 8 miles from the Lost Hills Sheriff Station, and apparently only 2 miles from where that caller had phoned in about the prowler outside. So rangers find her body in an area that they saw the footsteps go to. However, they refused to search it in the initial search, remember. Here's where things get really confusing. So let's take a little break and find out what happened next. All right, and we're back, about to be a little more enraged if you weren't already. So Maitrice was located by rangers, and again, here's where shit gets hanky. Maitrice was found naked. Her clothes were recovered a couple hundred feet away, and not all of them. Her body was in positions that did not suggest any animal involvement, and her bra was unclasped. The belt on her pants was also unclasped and removed, and her jeans were unzipped. I highly doubt any raccoons out there have opposable thumbs. And her right femur was removed and located 6 foot up the slope behind her. Not only was this weird, her body, clothes, leg, everything did not show any sign of animal involvement. There was no biting, no trauma, nothing. And the hyoid bone on her neck was missing, along with a few other ones. For those of you who live completely normal lives and don't know this off the cuff, the hyoid bone is the bone in the neck that breaks when you're strangled. It will 100% of the time break if you are strangled. It's a dead indicator, and the fact that this bone is missing, along with a couple other ones, seems not suspicious but damning to me. Maitrice's body was also found near a mural that was done by a local artist depicting a lot of, like, Afro-Latina black women in kind of sexual positions, and there was a lot of, like, black holes and, like, red kind of representing blood around. One of the women had, like, a little afro, and a lot of the super tinfoil hat conspiracy theorists were conspiring that it was depicted because of Maitrice, but the cops actually found the artist painted over the mural and interviewed him, and he had no fucking clue there was even a missing woman in that area. So, great job, LASD. Nailed that missing persons report. Not only was Maitrice's right arm clasped over her chest, the body was pretty naturally mummified, and that's a really unique thing to happen. I had to Google how that happened, so I'm sorry, FBI agent who's watching me through my computer's webcam. I promise I didn't mummify somebody. But it can happen naturally in deserts and frozen glaciers. Well, LA does not have any frozen glaciers. It certainly is one big fucking desert, so it kind of makes sense how that could happen. For those who are unfamiliar, the process of mummification usually happens with chemicals, but it's essentially the hardening of the outer skin and cells to preserve the internal organs and the body. Now, we know all this information because the LAPD was called. The rangers called the body in, and 1.5 hours later, a Lost Hills deputy who was, and is still unidentified, arrived on scene. If you look at any state policy in California, it states that the coroner has to be called as soon as a deputy arrives. Like, if someone's dead, a cop's there, boom, a coroner's there. And it would take the deputy another hour and a half to call the coroner. So it's been 3 hours now since the rangers have been notified of Maitrice's body being found. The sheriffs took, and hold on to your hats here, no photographs of the scene. They didn't collect any soil samples. They didn't document any process of recovering her remains. they didn't take any samples from her body. Even when the sheriff asks what kind of state Maitreese's body was when they recovered it, they lie. The sheriff was on record saying that they found her body by locating the skull and pulling out the rest of the body when the skull was detached from the neck, so why would you lie about something so insignificant? Unless the missing neck bones and detached skull were done on purpose. When the coroner did arrive, they were told that the sheriff's department helicopter would pick them up and bring them to the body, but this would take another 3 hours again. Now we're on to 6 hours, and they were also told that the sheriff's department would just remove the body instead later. So even though the coroner said, please don't fucking touch the body, the sheriff's department picked her up and collected the remains and brought them back to the Lost Hills station, which is, I think, twice now that they've officially broken policy, so Lord knows what the fuck they're doing behind the scenes. As if we weren't done, the LA County Sheriff Department stated that they believed no crime had been committed. Instead, they assumed and officially reported that Maitreese had been bitten by a rattlesnake or had an allergic reaction bad enough to cause anaphylactic shock from poison ivy that might have been in the area. Oh, and to explain all of her clothes missing, the animals did that. They actually stated that the animals ripped her clothes off, even though there's no evidence of scratches or teeth marks on any of the remaining clothes or bones. The final report states that Maitreese Richardson was released from the Lost Hills Sheriff Department at around midnight or 1 a.m. the morning of September 20th, 2009, and she left on her own accord of sound mind and body and simply died of exposure on her way down. Let's start with the fact that this final theory, as I'm going to call it, even though it is her official report, really doesn't make sense, and there's a lot of contrasting evidence pretty much staring it boldly in the face, but let's just pretend that this was the case. How is it not a miscarriage of justice when her mother called and said, hey, are you going to release her? I would hate to have something happen to her. I know how she is, and I know she doesn't know that area, so I'll come pick her up. And they just released her without notifying Latisse that evening. If they had notified Latisse that evening, Maitreese might still be here today. She probably would have left and gone to pick up her daughter and maybe would have found her in time. To add insult to the injury, Latisse was contacting the morgue to try and get the remains of Maitreese brought to their funeral home, and instead was told that she was cremated without their permission. So let's go over other plausible theories. If you're anything like me, you're probably rattling off a bunch of different scenarios you have in your head. Feel free to throw them down in the Instagram comments because I'd love to hear what you guys think. In my opinion, I think there's only two possibilities that this case plays out. The first possibility is the one I think is least likely, which is the theory that's currently proposed. That Maitreese left the Sheriff's Department of Sound Mind and Body, somehow got lost in the woods, and died of the elements and the exposure on the way there and simply was not found for 10 months. Maybe animals came and, you know, chewed her clothes off. Maybe they were right. Who knows? If this did happen, if Maitreese truly was let go by accident and that sheriff running after her was absolutely nothing, then it still doesn't erase the fact that this was a huge miscarriage of justice and that the Lost Hills Police Department broke protocol over 5 times. You guys, there were so many more mistakes. I found an amazing Reddit article. It was written by user That Girl Is a Problem 4 months ago. And she lists a lot of really concise mistakes that the coroner's department did as well that I didn't even hear in any of the podcasts or read in any of the research I did. And here they come. The coroner didn't test any of the hair found on the ground and didn't have anything to compare it to because of that. The earring that was mounted on her hair was never tested, and there was a bunch of, like, bug casings and stuff found on her body, and they were never tested as well. Dirt and leaves were never tested. The reason this is important is because it could show, A, that the soil around her and things on her body did not come from that location, indicating that she was placed there, or it could be maybe that some kind of poison or some kind of chemical was used, so it could show that there were other elements other than the natural. In addition, no craniotomy was performed, which is what you do to identify blunt force trauma when someone gets hit in the head. So if for some reason this was a homicide, we would have no idea based on the coroner's report that we were given. As well, one more. They only searched the actual scene twice. Mitrice's family, and I'll post a picture, gathered around to kind of create a memorial there for Mitrice. They had a cross and flowers, and they were all crouched down to take a photo. It's a nice photo until you read that they found her fucking finger bone in the dirt. Mm-hmm. I won't show you a picture of the finger bone, but I assure you, it's a finger bone. That's how little the police did to actually scour the scene and look for evidence. They quote-unquote searched it twice, but missed a whole ass finger bone. It couldn't have been very far in the dirt. They only swept away a certain section of leaves and things where her body was to make this memorial almost like a resting place. In July of 2011, Mitrice's remains were exhumed. The family requested this because nothing was ever done on the body when this crime first happened. I'm going to read a little quote from the Malibu Times here. The family hired an independent forensic pathologist to be present at the exhumation to observe so that he could produce an independent report to me, which is what Latisse Sutton said to the interviewer that week. The evidence found at the scene, which included Mitrice's jeans, bra, and belt, were sent to the LAPD's crime lab for examination. And this all has to get paid out of Latisse's family and Mitrice's family's pocket. But 10 years later, and I can't find anything on those remains. I have scoured the entire internet, and I'm at a loss. I don't think they were ever tested. Now that we know all the mistakes that the coroner and the police have made, it's been over 10 years since Mitrice's remains were discovered, and her case is still considered solved after being willingly released from the police station and succumbing to the elements. But I just want to speculate, because I have some questions, Reddit has some questions, I'm sure y'all have some questions. So let's take a little break, and we'll come back and speculate on some questions. And we're back. So why wasn't Mitrice sent for a psych evaluation when the sheriff's department could do that? If the cops are saying she didn't need a psych evaluation, even though she was acting erratically and strangely, it's quite literally contradicting itself. Why did you edit the jail sale video? Literally, why is there any reason for you to do that? The only reason is because you're covering something up. And even on the edited video, there's a sheriff seen leaving with Mitrice, pretty much chasing after her as she's leaving. Who is this deputy? Why did nobody speak to him? The LASD, which is the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department, said they have nothing to hide, but they clearly have everything to hide. And the captain at the time, Tom Martin, withheld that tape from them, even though it was edited. Why would he do that? He resigned a couple years later due to a totally separate scandal, but I have a feeling this guy's involved somehow or is covering up. Also, after that phone call was made by that neighbor stating that somebody matching Mitrice's description was seen in the area, there was supposed to be a wellness check done on the house and the people, but they also never even thought to look for Mitrice. The thought didn't even cross their mind to look for Mitrice, even though her mom had called, even though her mother had said she was missing, even though her mother was trying to file a missing persons report. They still got a description of a woman still acting erratically in the hills, and they didn't think to look for her, they didn't think to bring her back. In the upper area of Dark Canyon, where Mitrice's remains were ultimately found, it is super remote, really hard to get to, and it was actually an old marijuana farm. The only people who knew it was back there were druggies and the cops, because the cops would go bust druggies. In addition to that area being called Dark Canyon and sounding like the most spooky Disney film sounding thing ever, we don't know if it was officially searched. Reports say it wasn't. The report says that her footsteps go towards that direction, but it wasn't searched. So why wasn't it searched initially? We could have found her the day after, not 10 or 11 months after. This brings up an interesting theory that Mitrice was actually killed somewhere else in those woods and then brought to this area and kind of dumped. I've heard that theory. I've also heard a theory that local pot farmers found her snooping on their property and killed her because of it, but this theory really holds no water other than being worth a mention. And if she was murdered by somebody else, whether it be in that location or elsewhere in the woods that morning, The sheriff's department reported that her skeletal remains were intact when in fact it wasn't. Another bold-faced lie. She had missing hyoid bones, 5 total in her neck, not to mention a couple of missing teeth. The femur bone they found 6 foot like up the ravine behind her, and she was missing her underwear, shoes, socks, and her t-shirt. So those are my questions for the theory that the sheriff's department say is the official cause of Maitreza's death. I think if there wasn't so many mistakes made by the sheriff's department, I might think that Maitreza actually died of exposure. It could make sense. Erase all the mistakes that they did. If somebody leaves in a manic state in an area they're not familiar with, they're wandering off, they're climbing down ravines. LA, I'm sure, is, from what I read, super rocky and probably hard to walk in whatever tennis shoes she had on. They lost and doctored the police video surveillance tape. They lost or did not have the telephone records showing that she supposedly called Mildred, even though Mildred has no recounting of these phone calls. They released a woman against her family's wishes, saying she was experiencing some sort of mental break, but also released her because she was experiencing some sort of mental break. I don't understand why they released her. And then there's the second theory, which in my mind is what happened. I think that Maitreza was having an episode, whether it be a manic episode of a bipolar situation or something else that was untreated. Either way, I don't think she was on drugs. I think she was probably just having a little bit of a mental break. In her diary, it said that she hadn't really slept, so I think she was just kind of in a fuck it mood when she went to Joffrey's and was acting super erratically and weird because of the lack of sleep and just breaking up with her girlfriend. She was probably going through like a little mental breakdown or a crisis. I think the manager had the best intentions with calling the police, assuming that they would do their job and in fact protect and serve instead of harass and lie, but unfortunately we know we're wrong in that situation. I think Maitreza left the Sheriff Hills Police Department on her own accord. I think that the sheriff in the video was found following her. I think he ran out, chased after her, either offered her a ride. It's not completely unlikely considering Maitreza was very pretty, single, by herself. Unfortunately, people do have awful intentions sometimes. I think it was possible that the sheriff followed her and either raped and killed her, there, right in the fucking Lost Hills, chased her and then raped and killed her, or offered her a ride and then something went afoul and he dumped her body back on his way back to work because he would have to clock back in. I think it's really fishy that not only was evidence clearly doctored, that they were never held accountable for any of this, and her file still says that it was an accidental death. Letice and Michael ended up filing a wrongful death suit against the county of LA, and they won $900,000, which is about $450,000 each. But that's not really that much money, because the lawyers take 40% of that. So, yes, Letice and Michael got a lot of money, because the sheriff's department so wrongly handled their daughter's case, but it was pretty much hush money, and thankfully Letice and Michael still haven't really hushed about it. There's still a pretty active page about Maitreza's case. It essentially got them off their back, but what really needs to happen is the sheriff's department really needs to be held accountable for their actions. The people who were there causing these things to break down and the processes to unfold the way that they did need to be held accountable and honestly need to not be in that job if it is such a problem to do a report on a psychological evaluation rather than just letting somebody go without a second thought. I think that the old captain, Tom, probably knew about what his deputy did and was trying to cover it up. I think that's why he hid the surveillance tape, and I think he probably doctored it after it was found, because there was a little 3-month gap before the family even got it. I think it's extremely and highly suspect that the hyoid bone was missing, and that 5 other bones in her neck were missing. I don't think animals as well could have unbuckled her belt, unzipped her pants, took them off, and undid her bra. I think we can all agree on whether Maitreza was murdered or died in other accidental causes. The police and the sheriff department really fucked up. They dropped the ball big time on this one. I don't care if she died of exposure or if she was hit by a car or if the sheriff officer that followed her killed her. Either way, the miscarriage of justice and the way that they blatantly broke protocol with absolutely zero consequences makes my fucking blood boil. Ooh boy. This to me is a case that should be open and should remain open. But as of now, Mytrice's case is technically closed, and technically she died from the elements, with nobody from the sheriff's department or the police department being held accountable for any of their actions. And that is it. I hope you guys enjoyed this. Thank you for listening. Be kind, rewind, don't let the bastards get you down. Alright, so I got my sources from a lot of places. The first being a blog called Talk Murder With Me. I also got a lot of information from an article from the LAist by, it just says LAist staff. It was written on September 17th, 2019. I got actually a lot of information from the official sheriff's report. It's the Office of Independent Review, County of Los Angeles. It was a report by Michael J. Giannacco and Walter W. Katz, who are the attorneys, and it pretty much just states every single thing the police did, even though it's literally blatantly stating how much they fucked it up. I also got information from the LA Times, an article written by Jeanette Marantos, and also on September 17th, 2019. I found a lot of really good write-ups on Reddit, one by username/thatgirlisaproblem, which is hilarious. A write-up by /NikkiBorbaki, and I also got information from the Reddit write-up on the Unsolved Mysteries subreddit by Door in the Dark. One final source, CNN by Michael Martinez, December 23rd, 2010. It's an article explaining that Latisse was going to pay to have someone to exhume and in fact did exhume her daughter's body. And per usual, I used my good old source, newspapers.com. I hope you guys are having a great week, and thanks for listening to Crime Chat Pod. Bye!